The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
This is the Radio Today programme. We were a little bit drunk because we're at the Radio Today Christmas party. Mr. Roy is here.
Speak for yourself, I'm on the soda.
And thank you to Ford Ennals for coming to our party.
Yeah. I was going to actually welcome you to my party or our party, but it's great to see you both here.
This is the Radio Today team party that I paid for and you're just a guest.
I'm delighted to be a guest at the Radio Today party. As ever, it's so extravagantly laid out and wonderfully catered, so thank you very much indeed.
Okay, let's be honest. This is the digital radio kind of Christmas reception, Christmas drinks. Stakeholders Christmas reception, and Radio Today's gate crashed. So thank you, Ford, for welcoming us here. And it's a great night.
Yeah, I mean, thanks a lot, Stuart. I mean, I think what we've heard today, and we've been to, three events, one in Westminster, one at Bower, and one here tonight. We've heard a radio sector that's full of confidence, full of enthusiasm, and very excited about what the future holds. And if, you know, you and I have been talking for, the best part of 10 years, and certainly 10 years ago, 5 years ago, that wasn't the case. So I think radio has a lot to celebrate and a lot to be pleased about. But nevertheless, the competition is huge. We know we're competing not with other radio stations. We're competing with Amazon and Google and Apple and Facebook. And that's the area that we need to focus on. But I think, you know, we're making great strides. And you kind of feel it in the room tonight. There's a real confidence here, which I think is good to see.
And as we get ready to say goodbye to 2018, 2019 is going to bring some exciting things, because we've got digital stations like Virgin Radio having a new breakfast show, Six Music having a new breakfast show. It's going to be good.
I think it's all good. I mean, I think one of the big things I'd point out is really people are talking about radio. We see it in the media. We see it, you know, conversations around tables. I mean, radio is relevant and it's robust and it's got real stars. And I think exactly as you say, in January, everything changes. So with Chris Evans and Zoe Ball and Sarah Cox and Lauren Laverne and the new presenters on KISS, I mean, everyone's got the opportunity to try a new station and to try what these new shows look like. So I think we'll see a lot of movement, a lot of shifting around with listeners. But that's a great thing, because I think what it means is people get the chance to sample a lot of new digital stations. So bring on January.
And as we look back at 2018, it was the year we finally got there, which presumably is something in your performance review for getting to this 50% target. So yeah, whoever your boss is, they're happy that you've hit it at last.
Yeah, we've been waiting a long time to get to 50%, to get the majority of listening to be digital. It's been 50% all year now, so for three quarters. And clearly it's heading beyond there. It's going to go to 60% and then to 70%. But there's still a lot we have to do. I mean, if you look at cars, we always talk about cars, and radio listening cars is so important. And yes, 90% plus of new cars are digital, but on the road it's only about 35%. So we need to convert all the cars on the road to being digital to really get our job done. And the other key area, and we've talked about this today, is local. We need to be able to be in a position whereby local stations have the same digital share that national stations do. And I think what we're going to see next year with a small-scale DAB rollout is we're going to see many, many new stations coming onto DAB for the first time, which is very exciting.
Well, thanks for coming to our party. It's really good of you to come.
Please, yeah, I'm so pleased to be at your party. Please make sure I can come next year.
Thanks.
Have
for
a happy
us.
Christmas.
Thank you, Ford. Nice to talk to you. We're going to hear later on the podcast from Margot James, the digital minister, who we spoke to at Parliament earlier on, and also Ed Vasey, the former minister, as well as Siobhan Kenny, who'll tell us about the valuing radio report that they released today.
That's easy for you to say. See, the problem at the moment we have is there's a background track going on, so you can't edit out any of your slur words.
Oh, we'll have to leave them in.
Or mistakes.
Mistakes.
That's right.
Okay. Well, Roy Martin is here. As I say, all that is still to come on the Radio Today programme, as well as James Cridland and David Lloyd. Have you got your phone there? Can you get your phone out and open up notes on your iPhone?
Oh, right.
And when I was sober earlier on, I wrote some things down that we should talk about on the podcast this week.
Did you? You are very good. You're very organised. Have a pay rise. It's Christmas.
So we're going to talk about the big changes at KISS Breakfast.
We were, which are very interesting. Tom Green and Daisy I forget her surname. How bad is that? It was only happening today. But Tom and Daisy at breakfast. I hope they've got a nice sun jingle for that. That's going to be starting in January. Great news for Tom. I've known Tom since he was a wee slip of a lad. Well, I haven't known him. I've known of him. He was he started at Preston, which is not too far from where I was, of course. He was at Rock FM and Central Radio. Went on to do Capital in Yorkshire when he was just 19. So he's worked his way up rather quickly, and quite rightly as well, because he's a good talent. And I'm sure he'll do an amazing job on Kiss Breakfast with Daisy.
And just one of many changes, that, as we mentioned with Ford, to breakfast shows. Six Music, obviously Radio 2 as well. And this week we heard that Emma Bunton's going to be leaving Heart Breakfast.
I know, this is interesting because she said she's leaving, that's it, she'll miss everybody, and she was crying. But the press release said she's taking a wee break.
Oh.
So, according to Emma, that's it, she's out of here. But according to the bosses, she's just having a little break while she releases an album and does a little thing with the Spice Girls. So whether she comes back or not, who knows?
And an opportunity for global, of course. There's a lot going on with localness changes. Jamie could well bring somebody in to be on with him on Heart Breakfast, and it might be the year that it goes national.
I don't know. I don't think Heart will go national anytime soon. I think Global are making plans to make one of their networks national in the near future, probably in the next few months, I would predict. But Heart, I think, is staying as it is, and he'll have somebody to cover Emma for the next 6-12 months at least.
You heard it here first. That's one of the first Radio Today predictions for 2019. We're working on the rest. But I think, as Roy alluded to, it might be Capital going national before.
I didn't say Capital. I didn't say that. Okay. You said that.
I said that. Fine. Said that. Well, we've all had a drink. So the other thing that a lot of people have been talking about on the Radio Today comments and on Twitter this week was Steve Allen's Ofcom ruling about the comments about a blind person.
Yeah. He said something which, you know what, everybody would say themselves down the pub if they're having a bit of banter with their mates. And problem is, Steve said it on a national radio station where one person complained and all hell broke loose. So I'm happy to give Steve some flack and just leave it at that personally. What about you?
Yeah, I think I'd probably agree with that. We wanted to play you a little clip this week as well. This is one of my radio highlights of the week. This was Friday night on 5 Live.
This is funny.
So this was Stephen Nolan, and at about 25 to 1 in the morning, he's got Dotton Adebayo there from Up All Night on 5 Live, ready to do the trail for his programme. And there's a caller on the line who's been waiting for more than half an hour to get on to talk about Brexit. And, well, we'll let you listen.
Joey in Bournemouth has been waiting for, let me just see my screen here, 35 minutes.
And you're going to blame it on me now, are you?
No. Okay. We believe he's fallen asleep because we think we can hear him snoring. All right? So let's just pump this up and see.
That's not fair. That's not fair.
We've put the man to sleep.
Yeah, yeah. You are going to blame it on me, aren't you?
You see? And the thing is, he was wide awake before Dotton came on.
I knew it! I knew it! I knew it!
Hello, Joey. Hello, Joey. So, Joey, what do you think of Brexit? This meaningful vote next Tuesday, Joey. I think this has been the best Nolan 5 Live show in years.
So that was a bit from Friday night on 5 Live, our highlight of the week here on the Radio Today podcast. Oh, hang on. Despite the party going on here, Roy Martin's fallen asleep. Let me just wake him up.
Nudge. Hey, 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 hey.
So we're at the Century, we should say, the noise in the background, we're at the Century Club in Central London in Soho. We've been at the Digital Radio Drinks event for Christmas, their Christmas reception. And John Holmes was on the mic earlier on, he was very funny.
Tiny John Holmes, I knew he was doing something and I said, do you mind if I Facebook Live it? We've been doing it during the day at the other events. And he said, you might not want to. So I didn't, but we did record it. So here's one of the clips. It was very funny. It was very in, of course. And here's some of his best bits.
Did anyone read the email? sort of telling you where to find Sentry. Sentry's really difficult to detect. You can't, when there's a thing you have to look for specifically, you can't really find it. It's been designed by BBC Sounds. The loudest sound we've heard over there was that of News UK's wallet opening, wide enough for Chris Evans to climb in it, swiftly followed by the sound of him laughing all the way to the bank. Without being forced to reveal how much he deposits there every month. Chris Evans, yeah, expensive, but nowhere near the cost of changing the strap line on all of the ads for Virgin Radio. It's all about the music, and it's now, it's all about the egotistical ginger man who will talk over the music if he wants to, and Mike Cass and Francis Curry won't be able to do a fucking thing about it. That's a lot to get on a poster, isn't it? Still in the world of commercial radio, doing no small part to these turbulent political times. Let's talk about LBC continuing to make the headlines. Eddie Mair joined Drive on LBC, of course, and Nigel Farage is on every evening. It is Farage, by the way, not Farage. He pronounces it to rhyme with the word garage, which is fitting, because most people's garages are also full of shit from the 1970s. Theresa May, though, for Theresa May, there it turns out that finding a solution to a Brexit deal is about as easy as finding a D2 station in parts of Cornwall. That's or finding a fan of John Gaunt. Paul Ross also received a promotion to overnights on talk radio. And imagine the amount of money they must have paid him, because that's prime dogging time, isn't it? So, Radio Today wanted to Facebook Live this. Bye, Paul. Global, let's talk about Global. They've got 35% of the market now of outdoor advertising. This is what they bought into this year. And if you know the kind of sites I'm talking about, you've seen them. It's like the same three or four posters replicated up and down the country. Just three or four posters repeated. Over and over again in the north and the Midlands and the south, just three or four posters repeated. Magic have changed their entire schedule to Christmas music, causing even Chris Rea to consider driving off a cliff on his way home to Christmas. Should we talk about Joe Wiley Gate? Perhaps not. Let's just say there was so much interference and disruption at Radio 2, many suspect it had been hacked by the Russians this year. This is SW88291 on the feedback forums, who wrote this. Simon Mayo and Joe Wiley go together like peaches and Novichok. It was Simon Mayo, he wrote that. If you don't know, Charlie Sloth embarrassed himself a little bit at the ARIA Awards, and he agreed with Ben Cooper after that he does, you know, he needed a break from listeners. So he's joined Beats One. But we leave 2018 with Sounds Industry in rude health. It's particularly rude if you think about it, because Radio 2 were about to be slipped cocks at drive time. Balls at breakfast, and at absolute, there's Bush at drive. And I'm sure we can name a few radio arseholes as well if we all thought about it.
Visual radio smarter and cheaper. Virtual director from Broadcast Bionics combines your social media, messaging, photos, audio, and videos with intelligent camera control and automated graphics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
It is the Radio Today programme, and we're in the salubrious surroundings of the Churchill Room in the Houses of Parliament, and we're here because of the all-party parliamentary group on commercial radio's report launch called Valuing Radio. It's been put together with Radio Centre. CEO Siobhan Kenny is here. Tell us what's in this report, what the big headlines.
Well, I guess the new number is the £1.6 billion on return of investment for local advertisers. So we've managed to have a breakdown across the UK, which is really interesting, obviously for local MPs, but also helps local salespeople go out and talk to advertisers about the tremendous value for money that they can get from advertising in radio. And to be honest with you, because we're entering rather uncertain economic times, I think I can say that, in the hallowed surroundings of Parliament, it's a good time for advertisers to start really looking for how to get value for money on their investments.
So your figures are, for every pound spent, I think the value on the return on investment for the advertiser is about £7.70. So you've worked out how much is being spent in the regions and how that extrapolates into benefit. And it's a big headline figure to come up with.
It's a great headline figure, but I think it's the sort of thing that we who work in radio know and understand, but people outside don't necessarily know. So I think it's a good, powerful number to go in and be able to talk to advertisers with a different piece of information.
And in terms of this report as well, it's obviously a group of cross-party MPs and peers as well, and they're coming together to not only celebrate radio, but make some recommendations to government.
I think that's the power of an all-party group report, to be honest with you. So it's not just us saying it, it's a group of MPs and peers from all parties saying this would contribute to the further health of the radio industry. Now, as you know, we're in rude health at present. We're heading for record revenues this year in 2018, but clearly we want that to carry on. So we've got a bunch of recommendations for government, rather the all-party group has, and they are in no particular order. Obviously, we know that we will remain committed to local news, and we're happy to see that enshrined in whatever regulation or legislation government cares to introduce. We know that we've had some deregulation, so we want to see that being fully enacted. Ofcom have gone as far as they can, we think, but perhaps they could be a little further. How long have we been talking about reaching 50% listening in the digital world? And things have changed, haven't they, a lot in the 10 years since we've been talking about that. Margot, I think we heard her say that the government are going to review the situation, see what the path is, and I think we would certainly support her in that. And finally, and probably most critically for the future of our industry, is how do we make sure that we've got the most diverse workforce in our industry when we do broadcast to a fantastically diverse set of people. So those are the four things, really.
And in terms of the operational freedom that you talk about on the recommendations, as you say, Ofcom have gone as far as they can in their localness guidelines. We've already had the big DCMS consultation last year. Mm-hmm. Parliamentary time is obviously limited, but you're asking for this to happen, a new legislation within the next 3 years.
In as much as that's possible, yes. I think that would be a good time frame for us.
And what do you think the reaction is to some of the deregulation from the wider industry? I know you had a report recently about small-scale commercial radio that David Lloyd had written, and we spoke about it on this podcast. There was a bit of a backlash from the community radio sector to that, and I suppose community radio would say the more deregulation there is going on, the harder that hits our profits, but actually there's a gap there for them to create the local content that perhaps isn't being done all the time.
Well, I think you're right to say that there was a bit of a backlash. I think we've had very constructive conversations with the Community Media Association since then, and the reality is there are many more things that bind us than the differences that we have together. So we're looking forward to working with them on a lot of new projects for next year, and indeed the Community Media Association have been here at the parliamentary reception today. So I think it's a question of our all understanding the niche that we have in the new market in the future, and I fully believe there's lots of room for everyone in that market.
So what's your big priority or prediction for 2019 in commercial radio?
Commercial radio, I think, is going to go from strength to strength next year. You know, we've had a fantastic year, record-breaking year, and if you look at all the predictions, it is that will carry on.
Thanks for having us here today. It's been a great event.
Thank you, Stuart.
Ed Vasey is here, the former culture minister, but now the chair or co-chair of the all-party parliamentary group on commercial radio. Why do you choose, first of all, to get involved with this group after you left the government?
Well, I've always had a passion for radio, and it was a great honour to be the radio minister, and I built up a lot of knowledge and contacts, and I didn't want that to go to waste. And it's important that obviously you've got a radio minister like Margot James leading from the front on policy, but it's also important that the back benches of Parliament have a way of showing their support for radio and also getting involved in policy as it develops.
And from your perspective as a former minister, does it help you to come up with recommendations and work with Radio Centre to say what the government should be doing?
Yeah, it's definitely a benefit to have a knowledge of radio policy. I mean, there are a lot of MPs, obviously, who know a lot about radio, and one of the great virtues of radio, if you think about it in terms of MPs, is that everyone has a local radio station they care about. It's a platform for them. So they will, you know, almost every MP in this place will have met their local radio station. So quite a lot of MPs know about it. You've got some MPs, I mentioned it in my speech here today, who were broadcast journalists. I think I can think of at least two Conservative MPs who've been broadcast journalists. So there's quite a lot of expertise actually in the House.
There's people like Esther McVeigh, yeah.
Obviously. Esther McVeigh, Rebecca Pound, one or two others.
Yeah.
Peter Heaton-Jones, I think.
And you're Roger Gale as well, former pirate broadcaster.
Course, yeah.
Your report that you've launched today, it's about putting a figure on what commercial radio gives back to the economy.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think obviously commercial radio employs 12,000 people, generate something like £1.6 billion worth of value added to the economy. The theme of my speech was that you would expect, just as people expect the cinema to die or radio to die, in an age of technology, it hasn't. It's still very popular. I made the point that both my children, who aren't even teenagers yet, both have their favourite radio stations, listen to the radio. So not everyone has disappeared to YouTube or Spotify. Radio is still very much an important medium. And I think the other thing I would like to say, without rambling on too long, is that we're very good at it in the UK. So we should be proud. You know, we've got some first-class commercial radio companies that are the best in the world, but we've also got some fantastic independents, strong regional broadcasters, and also let's not forget community radio as well. Really important ecosystem. We're fantastic at it and we should continue to support it.
And last time we spoke to you on this podcast, you've just been inducted into the Digital Radio Hall of Fame for all the work you did with digital radio. We've hit that 50% now. The minister says industry needs to come together and work out what the next stage is. You want to see that switchover happen?
I think the moment has passed for government to force a switchover, but I think industry will gradually migrate. You and I both have a new car.
We're in the Kodiak Club.
We're in the Kodiak Club, so I've got my first car because my other one was a knackered old 2004 Volkswagen, which I had a radio converted to digital. But, you know,
it's faff,
all
isn't it?
These new cars come fitted with digital radio standard. I've never had a problem wherever I've driven with it. In 5 or 6 years' time, every car will be digital radio. Every house will probably have a digital radio. And at that point, you know, there'll be commercial decisions being made. Can I come off FM as a commercial broadcaster? If I'm running a network, can I start to close down some of the relay stations and so on? I think it will evolve. And so far, I haven't had anyone say, you know, this isn't sustainable. We can't run two networks. People seem to be living with it. And the gradual evolution is happening without what would have been, I think, quite a difficult political decision to effectively tell people their FM radios were redundant.
And now you've got the shiny dashboard with the logos on that you can just tap. Are you finding new stations to listen to, or are you listening to the same stuff but digitally?
Well, it's slightly embarrassing if I admit I haven't got any new stations. I should probably conjure one out of thin air. But no, we're all very conservative. We listen to pretty standard radio stations on our dashboard.
Thanks for talking to us and have a great Christmas, Ed.
Brilliant. Good to see you.
Margot James is the Culture Minister. A big celebration of radio there today.
Yes, absolutely. The all-party group, under the fantastic chairmanship of Ed Vasey, one of my predecessors, has put on a great Christmas reception today, launching their report into the value of commercial radio across the country. And it's a very powerful report, and it reminds us all of the huge contribution that commercial radio makes, not just to the life of the country, but also to the economy.
And there's some recommendations in there for government, one of which is around the digital future, one of which is around deregulation, which is something you've already consulted on as DCMS.
Yes.
Might we see some movement on that soon? I know there's things holding it up, but
I'm sure we will. I think that the case is very well made, and we are listening, and I'm sure we will see movement next year.
In terms of your own radio listening, are you a commercial radio fan, or are you a Today programme girl?
Oh, I'm both. My commercial radio listening is yes. I mean, I've as I said in the event just now, I've listened to Classic FM really since it was launched. And I particularly love Classic FM at this time of year because they play so many carols. And that's always nice while I'm driving along. I mostly listen to it while I'm in the car. And I also like to listen to Ian Dale on LBC. And, of course, Nick Ferrari. I couldn't possibly not include Nick in that. And I've always been a lover of Capital. And it's strange, you know, old habits die hard. And I know that those two stations are now nationwide stations. I know they're national stations, but I still associate them in my mind with London. So I was on Ian Dale's show the other night, and I was quite surprised when listeners from all over the country started dialing in. And of course, it's now a national station. So, you know, that's just testimony to how commercial radio develops. In the Midlands, we have the BBC competition is very strong with Radio WM, but there are also wonderful commercial stations as well, which I tune into as I'm going around, mostly just listening to music.
And the one thing the industry has been waiting for almost 10 years now since the Digital Economy Act is a date for switchover. We're at the magic 50% now. It happened earlier this year.
Yes,
might we finally get some guidance from government on that?
Yes. I mean, basically, you raise a very important subject. I'm well aware that digital has now captured just over 50% of the market. That's an important milestone. We certainly are listening to the industry. And I would urge the industry to get together and agree on the best way forward. And I think that once we have that agreement, hopefully that will be forthcoming next year, then we can start to take some action. We know the parameters. We know it's important not to leave listeners behind, and it's very important we have safeguards, but the future is digital, and so I'm sure that we will be making firm plans soon.
Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks a lot. Cheers. Have a good Christmas.
That was the Minister from the Department for Culture, Media and Sport, Marco James, talking to me at the Parliament session earlier this week. Coming up, David Lloyd's Radio Moments, and also we will have something from James Cridland. But now... Trevor Dan has been speaking to the new Radio Academy Managing Director.
So, Sean, last week on the round table, I asked Mike Hill, a radio player, what he would ask you if he was doing this interview. And this is what he said.
What's it for?
What is the Radio Academy for?
Well, I hope that the Radio Academy is for the people who are either working in the industry now, and want to make better connections, find out more about what's happening in the industry. But also, as importantly, it's for people who want to understand what radio and audio is about and understand what the opportunities for them could be, particularly at this moment in time where there's probably a lot happening in the audio side of the industry. And I think probably not everybody, including me, is totally aware of what opportunities do exist, particularly in those lines of podcasting, but it's up and coming, it's growing, and I think people want to know more about that and understand, you know, what potentially is the future for them and how does the Radio Academy help people with that.
Your predecessor, Roger Cutsforth, never quite forgave me for asking him in our first interview, who are you? But I'm going to risk annoying you by asking you the same question, because you don't have, to be fair, a very high profile in the radio or audio industries. So who are you?
OK, well, I very early on in my career joined media, so in regional press at the times where it was, you know, it was part of everyone's daily life. The Nottingham Post was a publication that people read. They had it in the homes. They had it on regular delivery. And that's really where I started my media career. And I spent the best part of 10 years working for who would have been at the time Northcliffe Newspaper Group. Worked around the Midlands and got to know a lot about, I guess, businesses and marketing and what they wanted to do for themselves, how they wanted to grow, how they wanted to become better placed in the market. And with that, particularly working in press at the time, really understanding around what I would say what good copy sounded like, what creative looked like, because it was the times where you would create the copy for your customers in newspapers. I'm sure it's not really like that now, but that creative part of really trying to get into the nuts and bolts of what a business was about and turn that into something that was engaging, that was exciting, that people would remember, was a large part of the job that I really enjoyed. Moving out of print really into radio was something that back in, oh gosh, beginning of 2000, that was a real step change in terms of your role. I think people really did see working in print into radio as a good career move and a step forward. So I got the opportunity to interview for Ram FM, which ultimately became Capital for East Midlands.
This was in Derby.
This was Derby, yeah, so Derby based. It was part of the kind of triangle, if you like, in the East Midlands of Ram FM Derby, Leicester Sound and Trent FM for Nottingham. And I was employed to run essentially the commercial side of Ram. It had a little bit of work that needed to be done in terms of really getting the marketplace to buy into what it was about. We had an absolutely amazing team in that Derby Centre, not just on air, but the commercial team was brilliant and we worked really well together. So it was a really successful time. But again, working with those businesses, getting to understand, you know, what they wanted to get from radio. We really went to town on things like promotions. We worked really well with our programming team to make sure that not just the customers got what they needed from a commercial sense, but the listeners got what they needed as well. And most recently, I've been working in commercial training, largely around apprenticeships. I think a lot of people think apprenticeships are 16, 17, 18 year olds, but it's not. That kind of 16 to 24 year old was probably 50% of the thousands of learners that the company I worked for dealt with. Other people were very much like me, working and actually getting themselves qualified. So I did exactly that, not through an apprenticeship route, but studying through Open University whilst I was working to get my degree. And then this opportunity came up.
So let's drill down into some of the things that you might want to do. If you worked at Ram FM, you'll know something about global radio. And they, of course, are the big outsiders in the Radio Academy. They won't play. Have you got any ideas about how you might re-engage with them?
Well, I think that's an interesting point, actually, because I think we do, as a company, as an organisation, we do engage with people in global radio. There are certain people who have been on judging panels. There are people who independently have become members. Yvonne talked quite recently about kind of having this unified approach. And I think that in an ideal world would include the likes of global radio. You know, they are a big part of the radio community. I think for me, I need to understand what we offer, what they would like to know more about, and understand maybe why we haven't gone down that route previously.
Part of the reason, and I know because I was in your job when all this happened, was that Ashley Tabor never really understood what the word academy meant. Mm-hmm. For him, an academy was a place you learnt things. And of course, they've now got their own global academy for training, mm-hmm. and very good it is too. You mentioned that radio is a word that's a bit difficult, and of course, RIG has changed its name to Audio UK. Mm-hmm. Is it time that we thought about the name of the Radio Academy? Isn't that two words that are a bit unhelpful?
Well, I think there's two things probably within that. One, on day four or five, I'm definitely not going to suggest we change the name of the organisation.
Okay.
I think I'll meet with the trustees first and see what they've got to say. But I think if you actually look at the dictionary definition of an academy, there's actually two sides to that word, really. One is the idea of it being an educational institution, but then at the same time, an academy could be an organisation that is actually deep-rooted within a particular market, somewhere that pulls people together, that joins people up. And I think that's what the Radio Academy is. It's the latter, not the former.
You talked about getting people together. And we've talked on the Radio Today podcast before about the loss of the old London events that used to happen. There were monthly conversations in London where people from all sorts of sides of the radio and audio industries used to get together. Is there any chance that you'll try and bring some of that back?
Specifically to London, I don't know. You know, I think there's a real importance of making sure that we are where the people in the industry are. And there probably is a high proportion of people maybe London-based, so it needs to be proportionate, I think. If there's people in London and we need to reach those people, we need to reach them people. If there's people in, I don't know, Wales, or if there's people in Nottingham, where my hometown is, then we need to make sure that we are there and available to them people as well.
You mentioned Nottingham, it's my hometown too, and David Lloyd's. So will the Arias be moving to Nottingham?
I don't think so. My house isn't big enough. No.
Did you go to the Arias? Have you been before?
I didn't, unfortunately. I think the timing of my appointment couldn't quite fit in. I think it would have been odd if this guy, who, as you pointed out, probably isn't as well known as what hopefully I will be soon enough, was at the dinner table. So no, not this time around.
So you haven't been to the Radio Festival, I guess, either?
I have been to the Radio Festival, but obviously with a probably slightly different head on before, actually, working in that kind of more commercial sense of radio. I think I'll be looking forward to getting involved with it this year and actually going with a slightly different mindset, really.
Your background has been, as you said, in the commercial side, in sales and marketing. And I guess that's probably why you've got the job, because the Radio Academy needs funds. It needs some new revenue streams, doesn't it? And I wonder, as you said, you've only been at it for 3 or 4 days, but when you pitched for the job, where did you say you thought revenue might be found?
Well, there's probably a number of places. It's interesting you asked that question, because I did talk about opportunities for delivering revenue. But as I've mentioned previously, my most recent background has been working within a training environment. My jobs actually have had a very firm piece of training involved in it for quite a long time anyway, even aside of working at the last company I was with. There are opportunities, I think, to give people a selection of training that they can choose from themselves, that they can pay, that's affordable, but that's something that they can take on board and actually help develop their career. So I think probably over the next few months, I might look to see whether there are some training packages that are maybe online-based that people can get onto, download, work through, and get themselves a qualification that helps them either progress in the route that they want to do or even take a bit of a change of direction.
And of course, Yvonne is very keen on diversity. Uh-huh. However we style the Radio Academy, it is the professional body of the radio and audio industry. And I guess it has an obligation to try and improve the diversity of the industry.
Oh, absolutely. I think any organisation has a commitment to make sure that they are looking around their board tables or their offices in general and making sure that they are bringing people in who can add flavour, add new ideas. I think that that whole idea of diversity, not really, it just doesn't kind of attach itself to who the people are that you're working with, but actually I think you can attach that to yourself in the sense that, are you doing enough to make sure that you're diversifying? I think one of the main draws to me for this particular job is I've spent an awful lot of time working in radio, in commercial radio, but there is a big change happening with audio, and that's something that I want to diversify my own CV, if you like, and get involved in and see how I can add value to that market as well.
People are going to want to know what you listen to. Oh, yeah. So think before you answer this, for the sake of not alienating half your membership. What kind of radio do you listen to, and are you a podcast fan?
So I listen to music-based radio. I have a very, very wide music taste. So, stuff that my parents would have had on vinyl. So T-Rex, for example, I've been known to have that going in the background, much to my other half's dismay. But I do like current music. I like chart music. So anything that can give me that. I like a radio station with very good banter. And I stream a fair bit of music. I know this particular podcast is getting more and more popular. I'm not sure if I should say the title, but I'll say the character of Belinda Blink.
Okay.
And that particular podcast is something that that I've spent a bit of time listening to. It's cheeky and it's got all them bits of humour. And it's Alice Levine as well, another Nottinghamian who's involved in that. So, yeah, that's good.
And how much time are you able to give to this job? I know Roger was on a matter of days a week. That number was not 5. And he lived in the north of England. I think he found that he was working much harder than he said he was going to. What kind of arrangements are you making?
Very, very similar. I'm kind of, like I've said, 4 or 5 days in. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to do. And, there's only ever going to be a certain number of hours in the week that you can give to any job, whether it's full-time full-time, part-time, or however it carves up. We've got a good board of trustees. We've got a good group of people around me already. And whilst I haven't met everybody, you know, of course, I'm in communication with them. So I hope as I settle into the job and the things that shouldn't be difficult that are still at the minute, when they become easier, everything else will start to fall into place as well.
Will you have an office?
Well, no, not well, certainly not for the moment. I guess the simple fact is that my time will be spent between Leeds, because obviously we've got the Arias in that area. We've got London, which is where I am today and tomorrow. If I need office space, I know that there is some available, but I've worked from home for years now, so I'm set up from home anyway.
So East Midlands Trains going to get a bit of business.
East Midlands Trains, yes. The Mile of the Half works at East Midlands Trains, actually. So, yes, big bit of a plug there, but yeah.
Well,
yeah,
Sean, everybody wishes you luck. The Radio Academy has been... it's had an up-and-down story mm-hmm. in the past few years. There's been some successes and one or two things that haven't maybe worked out quite so well. And I guess we'll see you from now on at some of the radio events.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't think people can get away from the photo off the press release so far. It seems to be following me around. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And if anybody wants to get in touch, then it's sean@radioacademy.org.
Oh, hello there, boys and girls. Are you getting excited for the big day yet? Just me, then. This Christmas, I've had lots of my elves telling me about this thing everybody wants in their stocking this year. It's called Clean Feed. If you've got a Laplando bee coming up, or maybe your presenter's doing his show outside my grotto in the Arndale, then you need Clean Feed. It's great for radio shows and podcasts. It uses wizardry of the internet and a web browser to hook you up in top-notch quality. You can even record it all too. How marvelous! The best thing is Clean Feed doesn't cost a penny to get started. You can sign up in that spare minute between putting up the tree and wrapping your presents. Give it a go. It's magical. Find out more at cleanfeed.net. That's cleanfeed.net. And have a very Merry Christmas.
David Lloyd with some great moments from radio history coming up after this from James Cridland.
At james.crid.land, I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist. This week, some predictions for radio in 2019. So what will we see in radio in 2019? Well, I'm a radio futurologist, so maybe I ought to know. So here are a few thoughts. Firstly, smart speakers, they'll continue to grow, I think, and I think that's good news for well-branded radio stations and for live radio in general. They do expect your distribution costs to increase as you pay for more bandwidth and, in some parts of the world, higher music rates. On the other hand, smart speakers aren't used for podcasts much, so maybe they won't have as big an effect on those. Radio will continue to become more multi-platform. 2018, of course, was the year that AM/FM became used by less than 50% of British radio listeners. DAB, and to a lesser extent online, and DTV continues to increase in most countries. Now, more countries are committed to an entire switch-off of FM broadcasting now, following Norway's lead, who turned most of those stations off in 2017. Radio isn't a platform anymore. It's a thing. It's a style of audio programming, and maybe we should remember that. Podcasting will continue to grow. I publish PodNews, a daily podcast newsletter at podnews.net, and I've seen considerable growth in readership, industry activity, and competition. It's still a tiny part of media consumption, but it will continue to slowly grow, I think. Spotify added podcasts earlier this year and has emerged as a strong number two contender. In the US, Pandora's entry into the market may also help grow consumption yet more. New technology will mean new formats. The UK has a station just for tradespeople and construction workers. Australia has a commercial station for children aged 0 to 7. We'll continue seeing stations with new and interesting formats like that, made possible by new ways of transmitting stations. People will continue to fall out of love with live and linear radio on their mobile phone. Actually, I think this is, you know, certainly already happening, say some of the statistics that I'm following. Music radio is a poor second choice to the interactive delights of Spotify or YouTube music. And talk radio is in many ways a poor second choice to podcasting. We'll see more of the services like Kronehit in Austria, a way of staying with a live radio service, but also a way of skipping songs and segments products that you don't like. And the car dashboard will continue to offer more choices, I think, whether that's podcasting, Spotify, or other competitors to traditional radio. Radio needs to be on the front foot to continue competing. Work with hybrid, connected radio that makes the user experience a better one. And that's vital for success. Now, this is my last podcast for 2018. I'm still publishing Pod News, the daily podcasting newsletter, every day, even over Christmas, because podcasting never stops. But until next time and next year, keep listening.
Santa here. This is Christmas Radio Moments with your host, me, Santa. No, David Lloyd.
Now, when's Theresa May going to pick up the phone and call James O'Brien on LBC? Nicholas Soames did a couple of weeks ago.
Qualifications?
I'm a Member of Parliament.
Are you Sir Nicholas Soames?
I am. I'm a great follower of your programme, James, and I think you've done a heroic job, by the way, and like all the rest of us, just don't give up.
Well, thank you very much. I now have to give you a round of applause.
But imagine how it felt 30 years ago this week when Margaret from Finchley called Radio 4.
The time is 13 minutes to 7, and let me bring you up to date with this morning's big news. Mr. Gorbachev is cutting short his visit to New York and flying straight back to the Soviet Union because of the earthquake in Armenia. It means, of course, that he will not be coming to Britain. We have on the telephone now from 10 Downing Street, Mrs. Thatcher, who I gather has just heard the news, Prime Minister.
Hello, good morning. I heard it on your news briefing. It was the first indication we've had, but of course we understand. When there's a tragedy like that, Mr. Gorbachev has to go home. Anything else would be unthinkable. And then I heard later that you didn't know whether I'd heard, so I thought I'd better let you know I had.
Well, thank you for calling us. Have you been in touch since then with the Soviet Foreign Ministry or with Mr. Gorbachev's people?
I haven't. It's a little bit early, but we'll get on to the ambassador.
Well, we went on to do a full-scale interview after that at Bernard Ingham, who was... her press secretary, of course, for many, many years, said he didn't have any idea that she was with a caller. She rang from her kitchen, apparently. She just heard the programme, and she rang in on the phone from her kitchen. And Bernard Ingham said, I heard that, I nearly drove off the bloody road.
Margaret Thatcher on the Today programme this week in 1988. What do we learn from that? Well, first of all, that John Humphreys, rather like the Queen, has become less posh in time. And also that Margaret Thatcher clearly loved her early morning Radio 4.
Farmers and other early risers listen to Farming Today. And so does this Prime Minister.
What a great promo. It's an open secret in radio that the more it snows, the more fun we have. This week last year, we were in the midst of it.
Charlie Puth, how long on Free Radio? This is Dan and Naomi. Hope you're good. School closures on the website, freeradio.co.uk. It is a busy one. The roads are busy. Loads of the schools are closed. Lots of people's plans for this.
The All You Need Breakfast Show, the best breakfast show in the West Midlands, with me, Alex Lester, and the team here on BBC WM. Snowing heavy in Winston Green, says Paul, and Pango, Rob and Christian are heading to Coventry. They say it's lobbing it down in Stonebridge. Tell us. Becky, good morning to you. You're on the M5, I gather.
No, I was, but I'm not now.
Oh,
I'm
good.
I'm on the M5.
All right.
And it's quite slow. It was snowing really heavy on the M5. And as you
Oh, boy, what a great one that is. Sound of Silence, and it's Steve Dewitt here on Swansea Sound. Good morning. I'm with you through until 2 o'clock. And let's just update you on the traffic news. We'll be hearing from Stuart in about 10 minutes.
But if you were in Brighton this week in 1967, you'd have been wondering how on earth to get your comfort and information, because you didn't have any local radio at all at that stage. But when the snow fell, the BBC rose to the challenge.
This is BBC Radio Brighton, on the air for the very first time, over 2 months ahead of our official starting date of February the 14th. In fact, the weather conditions here are so severe and are having such a great and serious effect on our local community, it was decided that we would try and see if we could offer you an emergency service just at least during the period of severe weather. Two more areas are now completely cut off. We've just heard from East Sussex Police that both Rotting Dean and Salt Dean are completely isolated. They join Newhaven and Seaford, which are also cut off.
The winter following the Summer of Love in 1967, and BBC Radio Brighton making a snowy premature debut. 46 years ago, it was a very busy week for the first aspirant commercial radio operators. It was the closing date for applications for the initial Birmingham, London, Glasgow and Manchester radio franchises. Send in your documents, cross your fingers. Years later, even the smallest of areas were getting their own stations at last, including This one, 20 years ago this week.
It's 10 o'clock on Sunday the 13th of December, 1998. This is the new local radio station for Stamford and Rutland. On 107.2 and 97.4 FM, Rutland Radio.
I think that was a covert recording, was that? If you have a better one, do let me know. Rutland Radio, launching this week in 1998. Now, imagine producing an outside broadcast hosted by The King. This week in 1936, he abdicated, and the DG, John Reith, thought he'd pop in to introduce the programme.
This is Windsor Castle, His Royal Highness Prince Edward.
And that bang was the table leg being kicked as the DG left, but some people suggested that it was him storming out in a fit of pique.
At long last, I am able to say a few words of my own. I have never wanted to withhold anything.
Big news carried by radio from Windsor Castle this week, 82 years ago. John Reith had been appointed general manager of the BBC 14 years before that broadcast, and it was this week in 1922 that he had his interview at the BBC. He was 33 years old. I have his diary here, and he writes, "This morning I had the interview about the BBC. Sir William Noble came out to get me, and he was smiling in a confidential sort of way." How could you smile confidentially? How bizarre was that? What did he say? Oh, yes. They didn't ask me many questions. Some they did. I didn't know the meaning of. Open bracket. The fact is, I hadn't the remotest idea as to what broadcasting was. Hadn't trouble to find out. If I'd tried, probably had difficulty in discovering anyone who knew. Then he goes on to say, they asked what salary I wanted, and I said £2,000. Noble came to the door and almost winked to say it was all right. That's the way to do appointments, isn't it? Right. Radio 4 now, and it's 6 years since Robin Lustig waved farewell after many years of changing times on The World Tonight.
Well, it has changed. I mean, mainly, I suppose, because of all those different communications technologies that have come in. I mean, you know as well as I do, Ritula. We tweet now, we Facebook. We can broadcast from anywhere in the world thanks to satellite technology. We can almost broadcast from our smartphones. None of that was possible 2 decades ago. We can do so much more. We can go to so many more places. And I hope it means that in some way we can actually tell people more of what's going on in the world than we certainly could a couple of 20 years ago.
And our closing news headlines this week. Chris Evans and Apex bought the original Virgin 1215 for £85 million 21 years ago.
I used to come in to do the show and there'd be boxes of new computers in the hallway. And because I own the station, I'd be thinking, do we really need those?
Steve Allen made his LBC debut 39 years ago.
It's 11 o'clock, this is Steve Allen.
We lost cricketing's John Arlott 27 years ago.
I don't think you can even guess how much I've enjoyed it. The sort of, I must pinch myself to believe it. It's been wonderful.
And a happy 70th birthday to the chap who's appeared on BBC Radio Manchester, Piccadilly, Radio 1, Radio 2, Smooth, Gold and more.
This is the Top 40 as compiled for the BBC by Gallup.
Congratulations, Andy. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David Lloyd. This is the Radio Today programme. And, oh, just before we go, there's time for a celebrity guest.
What? They haven't turned up, so...
It's the man with the biggest Ofcom fine in history. It's John Holmes.
Is that still a thing? It is still a thing. Still proud of it.
So we're still at the Century Club in central London, and you did a bit of a comedy routine about the radio industry.
I mean, that just makes it sound like the most dry... thing that's ever happened. No, he did a bit of a we've got him on at the end. He did a bit of a comedy routine about the radio industry. It was all right, I suppose, a bit. It was as fine as a joke about Paul Ross.
Well, no, I won't tell you who it was, but I was stood next to somebody who said, when you came on, I don't like this guy, I don't find him funny.
Who said
but
that?
Hang on, no, I'm not naming any names.
You bloody are.
But
who said
he,
that?
But well, he's a top radio executive. But he said, I don't like this guy, he's not funny, but then he laughed. So what you said was
who
good.
Was it?
All right, it was John Evington. See, you've never even heard of him.
I don't even know who that is. Who is he?
But while we've got you here,
no,
John...
No, who is he?
Well, yeah, exactly.
No, who is he?
But while we've got you here, I wanted to have a quick word with you about your new programme for Radio 2, because my highlight of 2018 on the air was the Jeremy Vine special on Radio 2, and it's coming back at Christmas.
It is. It's not John Evington's highlight, is it? He hates it. He thinks that's the worst programme he's ever heard. He thinks that's the unfunniest... show that John Evington has ever been party to.
Yes, it is back. It's back Christmas Eve. Radio 2 have given us their Christmas Eve. And if you thought tonight's jokes were offensive, Radio 2 haven't heard it yet. So there might be a new edit. Yeah, no, you're right. It is back. We did a pilot in the summer, a one-off, and they liked it. For those that didn't hear it, it's Jeremy Vine, Agony Uncle. So it's Lewis McLeod brilliantly doing Jeremy Vine. But it's what happens on Jeremy Vine's show behind the scenes while the records are on. It was half an hour long. Christmas Eve, it's an hour. So we've doubled it. And a ton of people are phoning him up. And there's lots of jokes.
And it had that kind of down-the-line feel to it where people tuning in, not realising what it was, might have thought it was real.
After the first broadcast, Jeremy used to send me all the messages he was getting on Twitter from idiots who thought it was genuinely him. just going, what are you doing, Jeremy? Jeremy, I listened to you, Jeremy Vine. I listened to you. And what are you doing this in the evening for? Because you've ruined it now. And he's just going, oh, God, these people. But Jeremy was brilliant. He got behind it. You know, he absolutely loved it. He championed it. And of course, it's a celebration of all things Vine, isn't it? And everyone loves it, apart from that bloke you mentioned a minute ago. His name I've already forgotten deliberately.
The good thing about it was that it kind of took the piss out of the Jeremy Vine show, because it was that, like, the one show, and your podcast that you do about the one show celebrates the randomness, and that's certainly what the Jeremy Vine spoof did.
The one show show.
The one show.
Please subscribe now. You're right. Yes, it does. And you can't write these things unless you're a massive fan of them in terms of just what they do and achieve. I'm not a fan of the one show, to be clear, but I'm a kind of fan of the random shit that they pull all the time. So the Jeremy Vine show, I am a fan of, and Jeremy, I think, handles it brilliantly. But I love the nature of how it twists and turns, and to sort of lightly poke that is great. And this time, you know, I'm not going to spoil it by telling you who we've got involved, but last time we had some cameo roles. This time we've dug a bit deeper, and we've got some cameo roles to be very proud of. So people, it's not just impressions, it's people playing themselves and playing along with the joke. So
it's going to be the highlight of my Christmas, I'm sure. What are you looking forward to?
A very dull Christmas.
What are you looking forward to in 2019?
Oh, just some work again would be nice, wouldn't it? You know, I did radio for 5 years. I did breakfast on X FM for 3 years. Then I went to talk radio for 2 years to do it afternoon. So that's 5 days a week. You know, where I got this. I don't know if you've heard of this. It's called money at the end of the month. I don't know whether you're familiar with this as a concept. And I got a bit used to it. And now, since talk radio let me go, I haven't had that. So my children are dead through starvation, and my mum needs a new kidney. So I'm just using this as a platform. Not from John Thingy, you mentioned. Obviously, he hates me. But really, I'd like a new radio show, please.
Well, you do BBC Kent, though, still. You're still doing that? You've not been fired from that yet?
I've been fired from that, yeah, but it's only a matter of time. And also, it pays shit.
But it's very good.
And the show's great. We got an aria. We're like the third funniest show.
I've never listened to the show,
no,
but I've heard. But I've heard the stuff.
Of course you have.
I've heard the clips online with Jake, and they are very funny.
Jake Yap, this is. The only people who've listened to that show are Radio Kent's normal audience, who despise it with a passion. So, you know. But that's fine. We're doing something right. No, I love doing that. They've given me absolute free rein on it. And Gordon, who's the boss down there, you know, has just gone, no, you're bringing in a brand new audience for Radio Kent. That's what I wanted to do. He lets me create the music. I mean, we're playing Metallica and Green Day and Long Pigs on Radio Kent, for heaven's sake. And no one's told me to stop yet. What's not to like? I couldn't get that anywhere else, could I?
Have a great Christmas, John. Nice to see you.
Thank you. Everyone have a great Christmas, apart from that bloke you mentioned earlier.
Yes. Yeah,
he has a crap one.
And next week, here's an exclusive, next week on the Radio Today programme, The Real Santa on our Christmas special. Join us for that.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.